Welcome to the Zebra Blogs Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Hello, my name is Lane Ball, your Zebra podcast host. On today's podcast, we talk with the winners of the Zebra Review March Contest, Aaron with Ainsley L. & Pierce Interiors, Katie with Salvage by K-Scott, and Joe with Click to Restore. Fallon Yates shares five refinisher's tips to consider for your business during these tough times. And in Newsworthy, we share 2020 style trends with hardware finishes from our friend Derek Lawless with D. Lawless Hardware. Stay tuned and enjoy. Last week, we announced the Zebra Review's March contest selections. The theme was yellows and greens for spring. Our judges made their decisions, and today we will be talking to our first, second, and third place winners. Thank you to our judges. Yours is the hardest of work at times, having to decide between so many incredible entries. Katie of Katie and Company, Keegan of Lemon Drops Reclaim, Lauren of Portland Rose Studio, Natalie of Array of Sunlight Design. Listeners, if you are able to check out these pieces while you listen to the podcast, they are featured on our podcast page for you to enjoy. Just go to thezebrablog.com and click on the podcast. Well, grab yourself a paintbrush, and we would encourage the Zebra brand, of course, and a cup of coffee or tea, and listen in as we chat with these award-winning refinishers. Our winners include Aaron with Ainsley L. & Pierce Interiors, Katie with Salvage by K. Scott, and Joe with Click to Restore. Welcome, friends, and congratulations.
Hi, Lane.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, there's so much news around the globe about the pandemic, and we are praying for you all. So many are isolated from friends and family. We want to check in with you guys before we begin. How are you all doing?
Hi, this is Erin. Starting to finally get on a rhythm. Just buried my children in snacks for hopefully an hour so I can get some quiet time for the phone call. But they're definitely thriving. Took about a week or two to get in a good rhythm, but it's definitely moving in a good direction.
Now, where are you located, Erin?
I'm in Wisconsin.
What are you, like, south, north? Where are you at in Wisconsin?
Kind of central east.
Did you guys have a mild winter like we did? It was pretty mild down here in the south.
It was, yes. We missed the snow a lot.
Well, I guess the positive means that we got spring a little bit earlier. It's nice to see some warmer weather.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you're faring well. What about you, Katie? How are you doing?
We're just trying to take it day by day, keep everybody busy and active. And, you know, we're all facing some difficult times right now, but if we can just keep moving forward, that's all we can do.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, what about you, Joe?
It's been good so far. I mean, for us, the spring break started in March, and after that, the schools are like closed. So it was just in continuation of the schools closing. So, I mean, my boys are just happy in the rhythm and they're fine. And work-wise, I do mainly custom. So it hasn't changed much business-wise. Yeah. It's just going on smoothly. And I'm just trying to stay positive, doing lives, tutorials, and teaching others and doing my virtual workshops. I was supposed to do it in person, but since I can't do it, virtual, it's going on now. But it's good.
It's interesting, and then a key word is rhythm, I believe, and especially when we think about our kids. And, you know, I think kids find comfort in rhythm, you know, that's a comfortable thing for them. And so when they have to make this sort of a dramatic change from going to school to being at home and doing schoolwork at home, that rhythm is so important. It sounds like everybody's getting into that rhythm, and I know that's helpful for everybody. I didn't mention, but Katie, you're up in Canada.
I am.
What about you? Do you guys have a warmer than usual winter?
You know, it didn't get as cold as it does sometimes. We did have a lot of snow here in Ontario through December and January, but it's starting to warm up. The sun is back out, so we're enjoying that.
Now, do you do some of your work outside?
I try to. As long as the weather cooperates, I try and work at least with the garage door open, if not out in the driveway.
That's a sunny day. That's nice. That's probably better for some of the prepping work anyway, to get all that.
For sure.
Those loose particles not collecting in the house or in the lungs. What about you, Joe? Where do you reside?
I live in McKinney, Texas. That is north of Dallas. And it's been pretty cold this year.
Was it abnormally cold for winter?
Yeah, for Texans, I think yes.
Okay, so it all shifted down south.
I think so. I mean, I moved from New York City, so I mean, we used to see a lot of snow and cold there. Sure. But I think we are not used to that sort of cold here. And when you get that cold here, I mean, all Texans are like grow crazy.
Well, Joe, you mentioned earlier about doing a lot of commission work, and so you haven't felt the effects of this too much for you with your business, but I'm curious to hear from Aaron and Katie on your businesses. How has this whole pandemic affected your businesses? Katie, we'll start with you.
It has definitely affected my business. Unlike Joe, I don't do any custom work. I find things at thrift stores and on the side of the road and refinish them one or two pieces at a time. So that's definitely slowed down, but it has given me a good opportunity to work on some of the projects around the house that have been pushed back and pushed back for the last few years.
Aaron, what about you?
My husband's still working, so I'm working from home. I have three young kids in three different grades. So right now, homeschool's kind of become the priority.
Yeah.
Painting's been kind of on the back burner. I did have a lot of custom work at home here that I've been finishing up. Kind of the same boat. I'll be refinishing stuff for our house, and I have a few projects that I've been putting off for ourselves that I'll kind of get to in the next few weeks.
Well, has this time made any of you plan any different as you think about the future? I mean, this is a global issue, right? The pandemic. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we hope this doesn't happen again. But, you know, things can happen on a regional basis. Things can happen in your own home. And so, like, from a business standpoint, is there anything that you've learned as you've gone through this that you would do different now as you look into the future?
For me, I think I'm definitely going to start building up a little bit of a stockpile of inventory. That's not something that I have done in the past, just strictly for storage space conservation. But I think after this, my husband will have to get on board so I can start squirreling pieces away for rainy days like these.
For sure. What about the rest of you?
I had some bad timing with that. I literally just cleared out my hoard over the past couple of years. I've been forcing myself to not keep buying more pieces because I get too much. So I've been not letting myself thrift or buy pieces for quite a while. So now I don't have a lot.
Joe, you mentioned commission work. I would assume you probably still do some work or your own pieces. Do you happen to have any kind of stockpile ready to go?
Yeah, I mean, it's usually the commissions that come in, they get dropped, and that's what I stock most of the time. I mean, I have a few pieces which were lying with me for a few months because they came from North Coast or East Coast, and they were here since December. So mm-hmm. it was easier for me to start working on those. I have project pieces of mine, but not too many. And I have been using those to just paint and one at a time because being an influencer and ambassadors for a few company, I have to work on my own projects for submissions, for lives and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I did have pieces and that's what I flip sometimes.
Are you guys able to take advantage of places like Facebook Marketplace right now? And just, you know, where, because I've seen where some people are doing porch drop-offs and I know a lot of refinishers are doing porch drop-offs as well. We talked about that last week's podcast with Courtney. Are you guys able to acquire any pieces right now, or do you feel like is that just pretty much shut down for right now?
I've still been doing the no contact interactions where I'll just leave a money in a certain spot and they'll have the piece of furniture out.
As long as you keep that social distancing, that works.
Right.
Yeah, for me, it's like because it's their commissions and they come to pick up, or it's the moving company that comes. So I mean, I'm still maintaining the no distance. So we just move the piece out in the garage or the front porch. And if it's the client picking up or it's the moving company, they come, they pick it up. And all the contract signing and all the payments are done online. So we are not just contacting. I mean, it's just like come pick and go. And we all do the rest on the email. But the sales, I mean, on Facebook Marketplace, I just see they are going on normal. Dallas is, it's not so badly affected compared to the East Coast. So, I mean, things are kind of normal here.
What about you, Katie?
I've noticed that the offerings on Marketplace have sort of slowed down a little bit. There are still pieces available, but I'm really trying to breathe some new life into what I've already got.
Yeah.
And just spend time with the kids. So I'm not too concerned about what's happening online right now.
That's a good phrase, breathing new life into what you have, because honestly, you guys obviously are all winners, which is why you're on this podcast of the Zebra Review March. You all certainly breathe new life into these pieces. So let's talk about the pieces. Let's start with Joe. Joe, you placed third with this beautiful yellow desk. Tell us about this piece.
I literally got this piece of Marketplace, Facebook Marketplace, for like $10 or $20. And it was really in bad shape. But I liked the style. It was antique. And I liked the style of the desk. So I knew that I could do something really good with it. So I brought it and I just, you know, stripped, and it was a lot of work on that, but I wanted to do something different on it. And I just felt that, you know, something bold. And actually, to be honest, since Katie is here, it was one of her yellow, bright yellow, I think a cabinet or more kind of a thing that she painted.
Oh, and that's so fun.
I loved it. I loved it so much. And I saw it and I think I commented on her post even that I love it so much. So it was just in my mind, I had to do something yellow. So, I mean, I'm an influencer for Dixie Belle and cologne and mustard were the right color. So I painted in that. I stained the top after stripping and painted the side of the drawers. And then being an ambassador for redesign with Prima, I just felt this was the new release, the Cosmic Roses Transfer. So I put it on that. And then again, I'm an ambassador for Woody Bend Molding. So I put that too on the piece. So I mean, it was a complete piece for all the three companies to show on their pages and something that I enjoyed doing it.
I wanted to ask you about, because I did see that you had commented about the Woody Bend product that you used. Where did you use that on this particular piece?
So you see the knobs, so the keyholes. So they have the keyhole molds there. I put those Woody Bend molds on the keyhole molds. And on top of that is the knobs on the desk.
Well, that's such an interesting product.
Yeah, it is. And they come in so many shapes and designs. And I try to use them on almost every project I do.
Well, Joe, you mentioned that earlier that this piece that required a lot of prep work, and I was going to ask, actually wanted to ask all three of you, when we talk about your pieces, any notable struggles, would you say your struggle with this piece was the prep work?
Yeah, a lot of prep work because it was already painted in layers of latex paint and very uneven finish. So it was very glossy, you know, blotchy, and did a lot of unevenness, the paint chipping off, and it was a latex paint and not a chalk paint. So taking that whole glossiness and that finish out and making it even. So I literally had to strip and heavy sand that piece to make it very smooth and even.
Wow, so much work that went into this. And now, have you sold this piece?
Yeah, it sold right away.
Well, great. Do they realize they have a winning piece?
Yeah. In both ways. It sold and it just, I won a contest too.
Yeah, that's great. Well, there's so much detail on this project. Incredible work and well done, Joe. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Share your Instagram account for our listeners, if you would.
Instagram is the same as Click to Restore, www.instagram.com/click to restore, and 2 is number 2.
All right, Katie, here we go again with Art Deco nightstands. You know, I pretty much coveted the one you did last year that had that aeronautical theme. You remember that one?
I remember them well.
Yeah, that was what I call the restoration hardware look. Well, they were so cool. And you went and did it again. Now, the thing is, this is so interesting because I'm not really drawn to Art Deco mid-century type stuff, but you really make them into such unique pieces that makes me want them. Tell us about your winning nightstand.
Well, it's funny that you say that because every time I see them at the thrift store, I have the same thought. I think, oh, I don't really like that style. But I've done a lot of them in the last year, especially. And every time I paint them, I end up falling in love with them. They're some of my favorite pieces. So these nightstands actually started off as a vanity that I picked up at a local thrift store and brought it home, dismantled it, and there they are.
Now, when you take a piece, and you probably have all done this, but when you take a piece that was a vanity and then you make nightstands out of it, are we talking about like major, major work to make that happen?
It can be major work. I try and look for specific vanities that already have the two separate towers and don't have a smooth top across. Like Joe's yellow piece had that one piece across, and that could have been split up into two nightstands, but that's more work because then you have to fix the tops. So
gotcha.
My nightstands just had sort of a shelf in between the two towers of drawers. Mm-hmm. So that just had to be removed. And then there was some patchwork to do on either side where they were connected. And then they were good to go.
Did yours have the big mirror connected to it as well? Or was that part of it?
It did have a mirror, but it was really badly damaged when I picked it up at the thrift store. So I knew right away it wasn't going to be salvageable as a vanity, but it was the perfect candidate to split up into these nightstands.
Well, tell us about the paint and the color used, and if you used any top coats.
So these were painted in the Chippy Barnes Eucalyptus, which is a limited edition color for their beautiful home collection. And I really fell in love with this green as soon as it was released. So it's a really fun kind of bohemian vibe, I think.
What about the hardware? Because the hardware is just, I mean, I don't know, it just kind of completes it. Is that the original hardware?
That is the original hardware. All I did was take it off, give it a good scrub down, and then spray painted it with some antique bronze spray paint and put it right back on. They really were neat pieces of hardware, and I felt like they suited the piece well, so they all stayed together.
It's always nice when you can use the original hardware on a piece, and so you can kind of maintain a bit of its history with it. Well, I'm going to ask you this as well, Katie. Any notable struggles that you'd like to share with the process of refinishing this these two nightstands?
They actually didn't give me too much trouble. I did have to take them apart, so there were some screws and a little bit of sawing to get the middle piece out. And then there was obviously some patchwork that had to happen on the sides with some Bondo, but I think we're all pretty used to using fillers to fill in nicks and dings, so it was a little more work than that, but not too bad in the end.
Well, you have to tell us, is this piece sold or do you still have it for sale?
These guys actually sold right away.
I'm not surprised. Well, really nice work on getting second place, Katie. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, share your Instagram account with our listeners.
My Instagram is salvagedbyk.scott.
Well, Erin, you placed first with green and natural wood dresser. This piece is so unique and so well balanced. Tell us about your piece.
I was very shocked. The green I chose doesn't really speak spring. It's kind of a dark, moody green. I chose this color kind of back around the holidays, around Christmas, and it's a perfect green for like Christmas time. So when the challenge for the Zebra Review came out, this is the only green I had. So I decided to go with this one, and just with the natural wood and the white knobs just made it cream spring all of a sudden.
So you decided to enter in this contest for March with the theme of spring and the yellows and greens, of course. But when you had this color, so you had this dark green, what made you decide to go natural with the top drawer and the legs? Were you trying to kind of get that spring vibe going on? Is that what took you in that direction?
My first intention with this dresser was to go 100% raw wood, but with all the layers and layers of paint, I abandoned that idea soon after starting. But the wood was very beautiful. So after I did the first two drawers, like an hour into the process, those were definitely staying. And then I just like the balance of the raw legs, especially when they have all that detail. So that was enough.
That was an excellent decision as far as the combination.
Well, thank you.
Like you said, being a darker green, you wouldn't normally think it would be first represent spring, but there are so many different colors of green that you see in the foliage. And but to be able to see that natural wood tone, it really balances nicely.
It lightens
with
it
that.
Up. Yeah.
What was the paint color that you used?
It's Chippy Barn and it's Seaside Cliff. And it's from their beautiful home collection also.
Well, I have to ask you this same question as I've asked the others. Any notable struggles? Sounds like maybe the stripping part was kind of a challenge.
Right, but it kind of geared me in the right direction. So I think it was kind of a blessing in disguise.
That's right.
Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have won the challenge.
That's right.
Wouldn't have had any green in there.
Do you still have this piece or is this sold?
It's sold. A lot of sellers regret kicking in.
Really?
Right. Well, after I won, I'm like, oh, I could have put it here or here, which happens with a lot of pieces, but you can't keep them all.
Is it true for all three of you? I mean, do you find yourselves like pulling back a piece, especially when it's not a non-commissioned piece and putting it in a room and keeping it for a while before you decide to sell it?
Yep.
Definitely.
I swap furniture constantly.
Oh man, well, that gives you, you always have that fresh new look in the rooms in your home, right?
That's kind of why I got started doing what I did. I like furniture and I like a room feeling full and just don't want to pay retail price. So I started just doing it for myself and it just kind of spiraled into a business. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, turned out really beautiful. You do a lot of great work. I really like the dark green contrasting with the natural wood tones. Again, as I said earlier, that's such a neat balance. And so well done on that, Erin. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Share your Instagram account with our listeners.
Hi, I'm Ainsley L. and Pierce on both Instagram and Facebook.
Well, a special thank you to all three of you for joining us today. Stay safe and stay well.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much, Lane.
Thank you so much. And congrats to all the winners.
And thank you to the judges, too.
If you have a refinishing tip that you would like to share, send me an email at lane@enjoyzebra.com. Put refinishing tip in the subject line to describe the tip in the email. Today's refinishing tips come from Fallon Yates with Market House Restorations. Whether you're having a tough time business-wise during this pandemic, or you find yourself as busy as ever, Fallon's tips are sure to provide you with ideas to consider as you move forward in the days ahead.
So I think it's super important right now as a furniture painting artist, or even if you do this as a hobby, to really kind of crack down on these five suggestions or five tips that are really helping me right now in my business in these tough times. So I'm just going to kind of go over those right now, and hopefully they make sense. But number one, I think it's really, really important that you know your budget right now. It's easy to kind of get caught up in, oh, this is a really fun hobby, and is it really a business, or is it just a hobby? And your money just comes from everywhere. So I think right now in these times, you need to know how much money you need to make to stay above water and make that your goal, to make that every, you know, week or month or whatever it is. If you make above that, that's awesome, but make that a minimum so you know how to stay above water. As far as the budget goes, leading into number two, it's also expenses. It's very easy to go out and buy a lot of paints or, you know, whatever right now, but just be careful with your expenses right now. I think if you're spending money, you want to make sure that the money is going out is going to bring you money or coming back in. So hopefully that makes sense. You want to make sure that that money is going to benefit and bring profit to you and your business and not just go floating out in the air somewhere. So really kind of crack down on those expenses and know that it can bring you money back in. As far as ways to make that money, I think right now you really need a focus. This is number three. You really need to focus on making money that you know you can make. And what I mean by that is, as furniture painters, we know we can make money off of custom work. Even though it can be daunting and exhausting, right now is one of those times that you just need to crack down and work on that to bring that money in. To go along with that, though, if someone has maybe reached out to you in the past looking for a specific piece of furniture, maybe now is the time to contact them and see if they're still interested, and then you can go on the hunt to try to find a piece, of course, being safe and following all your protocols so that, you know, nobody gets sick. That's another option. Again, just make sure you reach out to them to make sure they're still interested and they want to purchase. Another option, too, is just, again, being smart, your neighbors, your family, your friends. And if you have a waiting list on things that you can do custom work for people right now, now's the time to do that, at least between the next 3 to 6 months. So you know you have that money consistently coming in. And leading to number four, I've done this in the past many, many times, and so I'm a big fan of it. But I think if you need cash right now, go ahead and sell what you currently have or what you've currently done. So you could, I'm sure you could easily walk around your house and see pieces that are complete, and you can sell those. Now, I'm not talking about like sentimental pieces that were your grandparents or something like that, but if you've taken a piece of furniture and flipped it and you know you can sell that because you need the cash now, then go, by all means, go ahead and do that. And then you can replace that piece down the road. That's not a big deal. To go along with that, though, you can also sell home decor or even your staging decor, because so many places are closed right now. People still have that itch to shop. And so maybe you have some home decor or some staging decor that they would love to have. And you can sell that to them and make a profit. Anything that can quickly bring in money for you like that, just go ahead and keep options open to sell and make that money. And then the last thing that I think is absolutely super duper important is start working on your passive income. And this is the money that you make while you sleep. It's a lot of work up front, but if something like this were ever to happen again, or fewer to get thick. You just have to be prepared. And I recommend starting now. And what that means is go ahead and start things such as your website. If you haven't started a website, maybe that's just Etsy for you. And that's perfectly fine. Start blogging or online tutorials or classes so that 6 to 12 months from now, you'll be glad that you went ahead and started this now. And again, like I said, this doesn't happen overnight. For me, it took a good 12 to 15 months before I even really saw a lot of huge traffic. But going back and thinking about it, I'm so glad that I started my passive income so that I could get through times like this. And I know that we're in the middle of it right now, but right now is a great time to start. I feel like, again, 6 to 12 months from now, if you go ahead and start now, you'll be super duper glad that you did. And just to kind of, I guess, sum everything up, I feel like more than now, people are really trying to support small businesses. I think they really see the importance of a small business and how people are struggling to really kind of keep their head above water. So reaching out and being professional and, you know, following all protocol, I feel like people would want to continue to support you. And now is a great time to just kind of reach out, think outside of the box, and to keep your business above water.
Thanks, Fallon, for sharing these tips with us. Listeners, if you would like to hear more detail in regard to these tips, check out Fallon's YouTube channel. You can find it by searching Market House Restorations. Our good friend Derek Lawless at D. Lawless Hardware wasn't able to join us today for the podcast. However, he did take the time to provide insight into the trends he sees for 2020. Derek sends warm greetings to all of you and wanted me to convey to you all how much he enjoys and appreciates the painting community. Derek reviewed their sales figures for the last 6 months and noticed some prevalent trends to share with you. Here are a few highlights from Derek. The top trending finish for kitchens, as well as painted furniture, is hands down the champagne bronze finish from Liberty Hardware. This finish is best described as a shiny, soft gold. He says just simply search the term champagne bronze hardware, and you'll see for yourself how beautiful the finish really is. Similar finishes available from nearly every major brand include soft brass, satin brass, and brush brass. Derek believes, based on what he sees in kitchens and refinished furniture, that these finishes are contributing to a resurgence of what he has called the brass and blue look, which he notes is a personal favorite. And I have to comment here as well, almost a year and a half ago, it was time for us to remodel our kitchen and get new cabinets. We went with a deep blue on the cabinets with brass hardware and fixtures. We absolutely love the look and haven't regretted it once. A few other notable trends he sees. The soft iron finish is popular, which is used in a lot of farmhouse kitchens and hutches. This soft iron is also sometimes called a dark antique pewter. Lastly, cup pulls for both kitchen and dresser drawers are seeing a substantial upswing as of late. Thanks, Derek, for taking the time to provide insight into the latest trends. All of us appreciate your dedication to provide quality hardware that is affordable and beautiful options to shop from. On behalf of the Zebra Review, we also want to thank D. Lawless for their monthly prize sponsorships. Speaking of the Zebra Review, our April contest is underway. In light of the pandemic, we wanted to change up the theme a bit. This month, we're calling it Home Sweet Home, and we're asking you to enter pieces that you have finished and kept for yourself. Pieces just have to have been refinished from January 2019 through now. We thought it would be fun to see those pieces you just couldn't do without. Plus, for those of you who aren't able to produce as much, you can still enter. We decided to create a new hashtag to help the judges determine which pieces are entered. We're asking you to post your pieces with the hashtag TheZebraReviewHome. So if you've already posted your entry with the Zebra Review, if you don't mind, just go back and add the hashtag TheZebraReviewHome. Our quarterly contest, Zebra Collective, is still underway, and it's all about the theme of spring, spring colors, transfers, or exposed wood. Tag your pieces, hashtag Zebra Collective. You have until April 23rd to enter. We're so grateful for small businesses. As many of you know, we're currently hosting a Support Small Businesses giveaway. Each week, we ask a question, and you can participate by answering the question in your Instagram stories. You can go to our Instagram account, Zebra Painting or Zebra Home Painting, to learn more. The winner each week gets a $50 gift card from a local business of their choice. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra Blogs Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Today's episode is also featured on thezebrablog.com along with contact information for today's guest. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share those by clicking on the podcast slide in our header at thezebrablog.com. That's zebra with an I, blog.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and happy refinishing.